soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
Ooh, it's almost sundown.
Like many, this time of year was Bethany's favorite. The cheerful greetings, the smiles, the flashy decorations, and the joyful songs all made the season very special. But unlike every other Christmas before, this Christmas was to be one that Bethany would not soon forget.
I bring you good news. Tonight, the Lord Jesus will come. He will visit you. Be aware to watch, for the hour was not told, but he will come.
Jesus? Coming to visit me? Oh, my prayers are answered. Oh my gosh, I must prepare. Woo!
Bethany could have never imagined that she would be honored by the presence of an angel. Not to mention the news of Jesus himself coming to visit her home. Wasting no time, Bethany set out to invite her closest family and express the great news which the angel had told her.
I will make an exquisite meal, the best meal that Jesus has ever had. Where's my good china?
It wasn't very long after Bethany had begun to prepare that there came a knock at her door. Who could it be that could be disturbing her at such a time like this, Bethany angrily opens the door.
Hi, how may I help you?
Good evening, ma'am.
Hi.
I'm sorry to bother you at such
a time.
But I don't know what else to do.
Okay.
Is there anywhere you can help me?
Okay, how?
I mean, I don't need donations or anything like that, but maybe work so that I can earn some money to buy some food.
Okay.
You see, my husband died 4 months ago, and I'm 9 months pregnant, and I'm going to give birth soon.
Mm-hmm.
I have no one else to help me, and I urgently need work.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your situation, but this is not the time of the year to be looking for work. It's Christmas Eve. Oh, but I'll tell you what. I think I can help you. How about coming back in a couple of days when the holiday season is over, and I'll see what I can do for you. And as far as food, right about now, I'm going to be making an exquisite meal for a very special guest. I haven't prepared any food yet, but if you come back tomorrow and we have leftovers, you are more than welcome to have it. But I must go now. I'm very, very busy. Sorry. Go.
Just like that.
Hey!
No sooner is it.
Welcome!
And just like that, no
sooner. Welcome! Come in!
And just like that, no sooner as the poor pregnant woman had gone that the family began to arrive. And as Bethany continued to prepare, little did she know that she would be expecting another guest. And soon there was a knock once again at her door.
Deliver a load of toys to the local orphanage down the way, and you know, my truck actually broke down right in front of your house.
Yeah.
And all my tools are back at the station.
Okay.
And nobody's answering the phone right now, and I was wondering if you have some tools that I could borrow, maybe help get me on my way.
Okay. Does my house look like a mechanic shop? You know, my late husband probably does have some tools here, but I'm busy. I have a special guest coming here. I need to prepare food. I do not have time. And look, your dirty shoes are dirtying up my entryway. Hey, go. Maybe someone next door can help you.
And just like that, the door slams yet again, and a very angry Bethany goes back to her preparations. She doesn't have time to waste on little non-essential things. Jesus would surely come anytime soon, she thought and kept in mind. She had no moment to spare. It wasn't very long after that Bethany was interrupted yet again. No doubt she thought this was Jesus, but boy, was she in for a big surprise.
Ooh, this might be Jesus. Let's see. Oh, hi.
Hi, ma'am. Sorry to bother you, but do you have a little food to spare for me and my little sister?
We are orphans and have nothing to eat.
Oh, you poor little things. You know, someone just came and visited me earlier asking for food. You know what? I haven't even prepared food yet because people just keep coming to the door. But I'll tell you what, after I prepare this meal, and if there's any food left over, you two can come back in the morning along with the pregnant woman, and you can have what's left over, okay? Now, I must go. I'm very busy. Hurry along. Hurry.
And for the third... And for the third time that night, Bethany turned someone away. Soon, little by little, Bethany's family arrived.
Yes, they're here.
Her Uncle Tom. Favorite Aunt Edna.
Yeah.
Her cousins Pam and Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lastly, her son. And just like that, her family arrived. Her Uncle Tom, her favorite Aunt Edna, her cousins Pam and Andy, and lastly her son Timothy and grandchildren. Everything seemed to be turning out perfect. They enjoyed company. They enjoyed the meal that was prepared. And it was a special meal indeed. As they talked around the dinner table, soon, minutes turned to hours, and still there was no signs of Jesus anywhere. Realizing that things were becoming dark and grim, and maybe Jesus wasn't coming, the family began to become impatient.
I'm sorry.
Finally, many became tired of waiting and wanting to go home as it was Christmas Eve. Just as they came, little by little, they all began to leave.
He said he was coming. Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Thank you. Okay. Sorry. Oh. I don't know what happened. Am I going crazy?
After all. After all her guests were gone, a bitter and tearful Bethany fell asleep in the chair, wondering, why didn't Jesus show up? Why didn't he come?
You told me that Jesus was coming here to visit me. I prepared all this food. I invited all my family, and he didn't show up. You made me look like a fool. They think I was crazy or something.
Oh, Bethany, it was not me who lied. It was you who did not have the eyes to see.
How so?
Jesus came three times.
No, he didn't.
He was the pregnant woman asking for work.
What?
The truck driver dirty with grease.
Ooh,
and the children hungry for food. Three times he came, and three times you turned him away.
What?
And as the angel disappeared, Bethany soon remembered something she had read only a few days before.
When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to to one of the least of these, my brethren? You did it to me? Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Oh.
We can cut the lights on now. All right, I can see, well, I can barely see you guys out there. I don't think they heard me, but we can turn the lights on. You know, this is a time of year where giving is number one, I hope, on many people's minds. But as we saw in the story, there was something that Bethany forgot. Although she was looking for Jesus, she had lost the real meaning of Christmas. She missed the point that Jesus came to this world as a gift for us, right? And oftentimes that gets lost sight of. We know the most popular verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. What does it say? All right, the whole church can say it. Let's go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal lasting life. You see, it's one of those things that it often gets looked over. Let's have a word of prayer because we have a brief devotion. Father, we want to say thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that you would just enlighten our minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our verse, our scripture passage, which actually inspired the little skit for today, was found in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to visit thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." How often should Christians be kind and courteous and ready and willing to give and share? All right, once a year, Pastor said, obviously the church did not answer, Lord have mercy, Pastor, on our souls. Let me repeat the question, and I hope some of y'all didn't sleep when the lights went out. How often should Christians be kind, courteous, and willing to give and help? All right, four of y'all may be going to heaven. Four of y'all. I don't know about, I didn't hear some of you in the back, but don't worry, we're going to give you another opportunity. We should always be ready and willing to lend a helping hand. For one major reason is what we read. Let me read what Paul says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware or without knowing." Have you ever thought about that? Has that ever set in your mind? You know, when I was a boy, does anybody remember, if you lived in Bakersfield long enough, there was a Christian bookstore by the name of Bereans. It was over by the mall. Does anybody remember that? All right, we got like five people here that remember it. Okay, I remember I was probably about 8 years old, And my mom took us and my other little brothers and sisters. We went to Berean's, and praise the Lord, she said what every mom said. Now, when we get in this car, or we get in this building, can anybody finish the rest of that? Don't touch nothing. Don't touch nothing. You know, and she had to give us the warning. So we went in and we touched as many things as we could without mom noticing. And we tried not to break anything. And praise the Lord, we didn't. But I remember my mom picked up a few items. And we were standing in line. And I remember my mom, we were next in line. And the gentleman who was in front of us, he finished paying for his stuff. And he leaves, so my mom goes up. Now, my mom had been talking to a gentleman that was behind us. And so we go up, and she puts her items on the counter, and my mom's digging all in her purse. Now, I had a mama, so she didn't have a purse. It was more like a trash bag with a whole bunch of items in there. Some of y'all laughing because your mama's sitting next to you, and she got that same purse. And so she was digging through the purse, and she couldn't find her wallet. And I remember she says, I know I brought my wallet. And so all of us kids are sitting there, and all of a sudden a man had, who we didn't notice at first, standing in line, he steps up and he says, I'm gonna pay for her items. And my mom said, no, don't do that, you can't do that. And so the man put his hand on my mom's hand and said, no, I got this. Now, I remember this very clearly because the man, he was huge. He was like 6'8". And what was amazing is he had all white on. He was riding, he had a motorcycle helmet that was pearly white. He had a jumpsuit that was pearly white. His shoes were spotless and clean. I remember being a little boy and just staring him up and down. And I remember he came, and I'm sitting there like, whoa, and he does that, and he leaves. So the stuff is paid for, and we run outside, and I kid you, it couldn't have been more than 15 or 20 seconds, and the man was gone. The man was gone. I'll never forget that. He was gone. And I remember we got back home, and my mom, the whole way home, we were singing. My mom was praising the Lord. She says, God sent an angel, and he paid for our stuff. And I remember then that, you know what? You never know in life, when the verse we read, Paul was telling the truth, that we should be kind and courteous always, because in doing so, you never know who you are being kind or courteous to, or who you are passing by or looking over. And I said, you know what? That's one story that I'm never going to forget. And I have many more, but we're not going to go over them this evening. In James 1:27, the Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, my childhood was, I suppose, like some of you in here, we didn't have a lot. But during this time of year, and me and my brothers can tell you, when we were young, we didn't too much care for it. We had to deliver gift boxes. And has anybody ever done that? And we had to deliver gift boxes. And when you're a kid, you wanted to do everything but go to people's houses and deliver gift boxes. But I remember all of my brothers and sisters, we would pile into the church vans, and we would go, we would split up with some of the deacons and elders of the church. And I never forget that every time we started, you know, even though me and my brothers were reluctant, as we got to the first and second and third house, our whole attitude would change. Because the more and more we met people who we saw were in need and were so thankful, happy, and appreciative to get that food box and to get that little gift and to see these little kids coming up to the door and saying Merry Christmas, it began to touch our hearts. And pretty soon we forgot all about, oh, we're not gonna be able to play with our friends. And we couldn't wait to get to the next house. And me and my brothers, we had a thing for years to where we made sure we wanted to visit 50 houses every time we went out. So we would fill the van with 51 boxes, and we would try to hit 50 houses. The one extra was for just in case someone else needed a box. You see, again, this time of year, even the spirit of prophecy tells us it's an excellent and perfect time of year to do good to others, because it opens the door for us to tell them about the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus. So I hope this little skit encourages you to remember what we like to remember this season for. Not about the gifts we receive, but about the gift of Jesus, the love that we give and show towards one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for the music. Thank you for all those who volunteered and helped out. Father, we ask that you would be with us. We thank you. The week is gone and the Sabbath is here. Father, we know that you are with us in a special way. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us, that our hearts and our minds would contemplate on, were there ever times in our lives where we entertained angels unknowingly? Thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we all leave this place a little bit more encouraged to help out and to be kind to one another than we first came. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.